If you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. You might say, well, it's a little early for Christmas songs. Well, it's 24 days. And we are preparing our hearts for celebrating the greatest gift, Emmanuel. But Thanksgiving's over. So what do you thank God for? Everything. But everything doesn't always include everything, does it? We are learning in this passage, this great passage of God's discipline, that we should thank God for hardship, not just the things we want on our want list, but hardship. Thanksgiving is over. Cross that off of our list. Well, no. Every day, every breath we take, when we have listed all of our blessings. Remember the old song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. When you have listed all the blessings you can think of, you've only just begun. And we give thanks to God for everything. Do you want God's blessings? Look at me, please. Look at me. I want to see your beautiful face. Do you? Look at me. Hey, thank you. Everybody look. Do you want God's blessings? All of them? His hardship? His discipline? Of course we do. If you paid attention, of course we do. And the text, the key word is discipline. In verse 4 through 11 of chapter 12. Discipline refers to whatever a parent does. It comes from the same root word as child. Whatever you do to instruct, to train, to punish, to correct, to educate your child. I know it's the key word in this passage because it's listed 8 times in 9 verses. And we thank God for His discipline. We often think of discipline as negative when we do something wrong. But it really is a positive word. It is positive in the sense that God loves you, and so He cares enough to discipline you. And when you begin to see God's discipline as positive, the only response that you can come up with is, thank you, God. Thank you. And the key verse is there in verse 7. Endure hardship as what? Discipline. Because God is treating you as sons, as His children. Let's read the whole section and then we'll go back through it. Beginning in verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood, have you? No. Oh, I have a paper cut. How I've been disciplined by God. None of us have given our lives in discipline. Have you forgotten the word of what? What kind of word is it? Word of encouragement. It's not a negative word. It's not a harmful word. It is a word of coming alongside. Same root that is used for the Holy Spirit, the paraclete that comes alongside. The word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines who? Those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son or a daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are what kind of children? Illegitimate. And not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while they thought, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Would you take a moment? Let's just pray and say, God, help me to understand what You're trying to tell me out of these verses this morning. God, I ask for Your blessing to communicate Your word. from study to communicate it to your people effectively this morning, that we might understand, we might practice, we might thank you for what we learn, what we've learned for 2 weeks and now the third week of this passage, to really understand. May it not just be a nice sermon, but may it change us. May it produce in us what you want to produce for your glory. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, the key is endure hardship as discipline. And let me review. We took a week off for Thanksgiving last week. But the purpose of discipline is three. One is punishment, to correct us. Do sometimes we need correcting? Yes. Sometimes it is preventative discipline to protect us from something more harmful. Do we need that? Yes. And sometimes it is to educate us, to teach us more about God, to see God from a deeper perspective, and especially in areas we don't see. Do you see everything? Do you really understand everything? Do you have completely a comprehension of how God works? Of course not. But to see more, especially when you don't see it, things that you don't understand, like Job, to trust God no matter what. We also looked at the perils of discipline. One there in verse 5, the word of encouragement which addresses you as son, and it's a quote from Proverbs chapter 3. This word of encouragement, my son, do not do what with God's discipline? Make light. That's a danger. That's a peril, to take it lightly. If I take God's discipline lightly, I don't benefit from it. I don't get the results. I don't trust God. I don't get what God wants me to get. And the second peril, and do not lose heart. There in verse 5, some of your translations say faint. That means don't give up. Don't be defeated by it. Take it that God loves you. And that brings us to the next one, the proof of discipline. Verse 6 through 8. Because God discipline who? Who does God discipline? Those He loves. And He punishes everyone He accepts as His child. What does God's discipline prove? That He loves you and you are His child. So there's plenty of reason to give God thanks for His discipline, isn't there? An undisciplined child is a miserable child. An undisciplined child is an unloved child. Do you want God to care about you? Wait, that's a trick question. I want God to give me all the stuff I want, and I want Him to show His care like that. Do I really want God to really care about me? So much that He will discipline me when it's needed. Do you want God to care about you? Of course we do. You know, don't envy unbelievers. You say, they're getting along so well. They have no problems in their life. It seems to be they're healthy, wealthy, and wise, and they have all the good stuff in life. Don't envy them. What does that say? If they have no hardship in their life, they're not God's child. Don't envy them. Instead, pity them. You see, everyone, let's memorize this. Repeat after me. Everyone receives God's punishment. But only God's children receive God's discipline. Everyone will be punished by God. The great thing, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, it's taken care of by Christ. He died for your punishment. So let's move on. Discipline proves God loves us and we're His child. That's good stuff, isn't it? So just say out loud, thank you, God, for your discipline. Thank you for hardship in my life. Give me some more. Let's move on. And this is positive, positive, positive. This is where we left off. The products of discipline. What does discipline produce? What does it make happen? What does God want in our lives? And if you're going to go to sleep, I'll tell you up front what they are. It produces life and it produces holiness. Do you want those two things? Which do you want more, life or holiness? I said, which one do you want more? Can you have real life without holiness? It's a package deal. A disciplined child respects his parents. The easiest way to lose the respect of your children or to never gain their respect is never correct them. Never punish them when they need it. And children have built into them the ability to know if they are loved or not. Do you know God loves you? We would all say, uh-huh. Let's just say it together. Uh-huh. How do you know God loves you? What he's done or what he's doing? It's a package deal. Well, I know God loves me because he gives me everything I want. Really? Verse 9. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? There's the first product of discipline, life. Since we respected, think back when your parents disciplined you. And some of you, they just didn't discipline you enough, did they? Did they? My mom always said, people would ask her, did you ever spank David? Not enough. Well, she was old and senile. But since we respected our earthly parents, shouldn't we respect our Heavenly Father when He disciplines us? That's a rhetorical question. Our response to God's discipline should not be resentment. God, what are you doing? God, I've been faithful to you. Not resentment. That shouldn't be our response. Nor should it be resignation. What do I mean by resignation? Okay, God, I'll just take it. I'll give up. Go ahead. Shouldn't be resentment. It shouldn't be resignation. But it should be a willing, grateful submission to God's discipline. We should want to get as much out of God's discipline as we possibly can. We should want the benefit of discipline. Do you really want a life of no discipline? You would say no, but don't we complain about it? Under the old covenant, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Under the old covenant, if you had a rebellious child who couldn't be or wouldn't be corrected or wouldn't be disciplined, listen to this. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother should take hold of him. Boy, did your mama ever take hold of you? And bring him to the elders of the gate of the city, of his town. And they shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate. Now, that's not a good thing. And a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. Just go, whoa. You must purge the evil from among you, and all Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Did you catch a couple of things there? You say, that's severe. Oh, yeah. Did you see that God is equating our response, if it's wrong, to discipline as stubbornness? And God calls stubbornness what? Evil. Purge it from among you. Stubborn and rebellious. Now, we would say, I don't want a stubborn and rebellious child, but how many of us are stubborn and rebellious toward God? That's what God thinks of it. You say, well, if we were still under the old covenant, none of us would still be alive. And I'll argue with you. Yes, we would. Because we would have heard about the kid down the street. What happened to Joey? We used to see him at school in the playground. Oh, he was stubborn and rebellious and he got stoned to death. Next time you thought about being stubborn and rebellious, go, whoa, I remember Joey. And you wouldn't be. It was an example for all. It is extreme. It is severe. But please don't miss this. It shows how serious God is about disobedience and rebellion. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, okay. You got any example in the New Testament? How about James chapter 1, verse 21? James 1, 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil. What did God call in Deuteronomy stubbornness and rebellion? Evil. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can do what for you? Which can save you. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? A Christian who continually rejects God's discipline, who refuses to profit from God's correction, can lose their life because of stubbornness. And you say, are you talking about life now? Are you talking about eternal life? Yes. Obviously, he's talking about eternal life, but also, how about right now? If you accept God's discipline gratefully, if you submit to what God is trying to do in your life, even if he's using hardship to accomplish his will, I can guarantee you, you will live better now. You will have more abundant life. You will have a richer life now. Someone said, you won't know victory until you fought a battle. You won't know the meaning of freedom until you've been imprisoned. You will not know the joy of relief until you have suffered. You will not know the joy of healing unless you've been sick. You will not know what living is all about until you've experienced some problems and hardships. No one lives so well as a believer who loves God's word, loves God's will, who receives everything from God's hand willingly and joyously. You want life? Two people? What are you, the tryptophan kicked in? Do you want life? And submit to God's discipline. You'll live better now. You'll live forever with him. And the second thing it produces, look at verse 10. Our fathers disciplined for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us, why? For our good. Our good, that we may share in his what? Two things that discipline should produce in our lives. Life and holiness. Do you live for the Lord? What does that mean? I'm living for Jesus. Let's just make it real clear. It's not some mamby-pamby feeling great. Oh, I feel Jesus in my heart. I'm living for the Lord. To live for the Lord is to live holiness. Say that to yourself. To yourself, not out loud. Okay? To live for the Lord is to live holiness. Say, I'm living for Jesus. Okay, then who calls the shots in your life? Why do you do what you do? Why do you not do what you don't do? Well, because it's what I like. No, then you're not living for the Lord. To live for the Lord is to live in holiness. What is God's primary desire for His children? What does God want most for you as His child? Now, wait, just think about that for a second. Many Christians think that God wants to give you stuff. He wants to give you a life of no problems. He just wants you to have joy, 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 joy down in your heart. And everything to go just great. So if you really love God, He will bless you and everything will be wonderful in your life. Does God want to give you more stuff? He could, He couldn't. Depends how you're using the stuff you got. Does God want to just give you blessings after blessings? Yeah. But what's your definition of blessings? Is it discipline too included in that? In 1 Peter, just a couple of pages over from Hebrews, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read it, read verse 15. Well, let's go back to verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, for be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed, when He comes back, as disobedient children. Who does God discipline? His children. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, when you weren't His child. But just as He who called you is what? Holy. So you be holy in most of the stuff you do. Is that what it says? All you do, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. What does God want above everything else in your life? Holiness. God wants to share His holiness with you. He wants you to share in His holiness. Think what God is doing to make you more holy. If He gave you everything you want, would you be more holy? Chances are probably not. But if He disciplines you and you grow more like Christ, you're becoming more holy. Why does God want you to be holy? Because you're not going to get to heaven unless you are. Look at verse 14. We're jumping way ahead. Hebrews chapter 12. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, who's going to see God? Nobody. God wants to spend eternity with His children. And the only way you're going to get to heaven is to be holy. Did you catch that? God is holy. There is no sin in God. If you and I are unholy, we're not going to be in His presence. God's always perfect, isn't He? Is He? You can participate. Is God always holy? God always perfect? Yes. So His discipline is always perfect, is it not? Human parents, as you look at that verse, reminds us, we discipline what seems best for us at the time. But all of us who are parents will admit, if we're honest, we were not always perfect in our discipline, were we? We made mistakes. Sometimes we disciplined out of anger instead of love. Sometimes we were too lenient. Sometimes we were too severe. Sometimes we waited too long to discipline and missed the opportunity. We've all made mistakes. Years ago, my youngest son was 3 or 4. And he was playing in the backyard. And his older brother had a friend of his over. It was Adam and Jacob. If you knew Adam and Jacob, it was like a match and gasoline whenever they got together. Things were destroyed. Most of you think of Adam as this sweet, good-looking 30-year-old guy. Well, I knew him when he was a punk kid. One day I went out in the backyard and Jacob and Adam were in our backyard and Micah was standing by one of our trees and it was shredded to pieces. An evergreen tree. I mean, it was a tree taller than I am, but it was all the leaves were just on the ground. It was torn up. And Micah's standing there. I said, Micah, what did you do to our tree? He said, nothing. See, there was always someone at our house called nothing or nobody. Or I don't know. I said, Micah, you tore up the tree. Why did you do that? He said, I didn't do it. I said, yes, you did. You're standing right here. I was getting ready to just dig into it. And he said, Daddy, I didn't do it. I said, well, who did it then? He said, Jacob and Adam. I said, they're like 12 years old. They know better than that. They're not going to tear up a tree. He said, they did. So I went to Jacob and Adam and I said, hey, Jacob, Adam, did you tear up my tree? They go, uh-huh. Why? I don't know. I was about to make a terrible mistake. But let me remind you, our Lord in His discipline never makes a mistake. He didn't get the wrong person. He's not too lenient. He's not too severe. He loves you and He's always perfect. He's always right in His discipline. At the right time, to the right degree, He's always disciplines us perfect. Notice that verse says, for our own good, to share in His holiness. And there's only one kind of holiness. It's God's. God is the source of holiness, and God is the measure of holiness. How holy would you rate yourself? And what would you use to measure your holiness? Don't measure yourself, your holiness, compared to a non-believer. Well, I'm more holy than they are. Of course not. Of course you are. You have Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. Don't measure yourself against other Christians. Well, I'm better than, boy, let me tell you, I'm better than that preacher guy. I'm better than Edmund, let me tell you. And especially Mr. Ed, I'm more holy than that. Don't measure yourself against non-believers or other Christians. Measure yourself against God, who is holiness. How do you come out? What is holiness? Holiness is separation from sin. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. God is holy. Be holy like I am holy. And God, in His holiness, you will not go in His presence unless you are holy. That means you're not going to live forever with Him. And God wants to share His holiness with His children so you can go be with Him forever. That's good news. How can I be holy then? I'm going to work harder? Good luck with that. And I don't even believe in luck. It's not going to work. The only way that you and I can be holy, separated from sin, well, let me just show you a verse, Romans 8:29. And we love verse 28, don't we? It's probably one we could all say from memory. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. We pull that verse out and when something bad happens, we like to quote it to each other. Who have been called according to His purpose. But don't quote verse 28 without looking at verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Let me read it again. God foreknew, He also predestined for us to be what? Conformed to what? The likeness of His Son, who is Jesus Christ. The only way we are holy is if we are in Christ and being conformed more and more to be like Christ. So what does that mean? That means we have to accept graciously the discipline of the Father, which disciplines us so that we are more and more like Christ. Now, we've said it many times. Positionally, are we holy? Are you holy people? If you're a Christian, are you holy? Everybody say, Are non-Christians holy? Can't be. In Christ, your position, when you put your faith in Christ, God declares you holy. You're a saint. Don't tell me a saint is someone that has to be dead 400 years and does miracles. You are saint, which is from the same root as holy. You are set apart from the world, from sin. Are you a saint? I think you should now call me Saint David. Saint Ted? We are saints. We are holy. That's our position in Christ. But you know that practically, do we always live like saints? It's the process of what you are, your position, and your practice becoming more and more in line with each other. That you, as you grow as a Christian, there's a big long word they use in church sometimes, sanctification. What's sanctify mean? To be made holy. You are positionally this rotten person that I am, who is positionally in Christ. I'm holy in Christ, but I don't act like it. So little by little, as God disciplines me, as I study His Word, as I practice His Word, I become more and more conformed to the likeness of Christ. And one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to be holy. And so are you. And if I'm not holy in Christ, I'm not going to get there. So let me ask you, what do you want most from God? You want Him to sanctify you, holinize you, sanctify you? Look at verse 10 of chapter 10, first of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. And by that will, what does it say? We have what? We have what? Been made. That's past tense, isn't it? We have been. We're done. We're holy. Really? How did that happen? Christ. However, read verse 14. Because by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So is it past tense or a process? Positionally, I'm holy. Do I want to be conformed like Christ? Yes. That means I accept His discipline. Now go back to chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Discipline in itself is not meant to be pleasant, is it? I can never remember a time, and I bet you can't either, when you were disciplined by your parents and you said, "Thanks, Dad. That felt really good." I remember one time telling my dad, "Well, that didn't hurt." Whew, don't ever say that. That is pretty dumb. Well, we'll find something that does. If it's pleasant, then it has no corrective power. Discipline hurts. It's meant to hurt. It's meant to get our attention. It's like if you have a kid and you have a curfew at your house, and your kid continually breaks curfew, what do? You buy him a new car. Well, that wouldn't make sense. Since you can't obey me, I'm going to enable you to disobey me greater. It hurts. It is unpleasant discipline to administer. It is unpleasant to endure. But it says there at the end of verse 11, a great harvest for those who have been trained by it. See, that's discipline. In a nutshell, trained. The word there is exercise, to work it out, to get you in shape. God wants to get you in shape for heaven. Holiness. And He knows if He gives us everything we want, we're going to be pretty out of shape, flabby. He's getting you in shape for eternity and righteousness. You know, we will endure medicine. Anybody here on medicine? I mean, we look at the age. We're all on some kind of medicine. Anybody ever had surgery? Anybody ever had to go to physical therapy? We are willing to endure that, which often hurts. Medicine tastes bad. Discipline, surgery, medicine, physical therapy is uncomfortable. It is inconvenient. But we will endure it for the sake of the end result. How much more should we be willing to endure what our Heavenly Father wants to treat us with for our own good, for our benefit, which produces life and holiness and real peace and real righteousness? Go back to that question. What do you really want from God? What do you want more from God, most of all? You want health and wealth and prosperity? Or do you want life and holiness? What does God want most for you? Who knows what's best? Now, I am convinced, after years of preaching the Word of God, that most Christians will sit in church and say, "We want the Word preached." I've never met too many Christians. I've met a few, but well, I wouldn't call them Christians, but some weirdos who say, "Please don't preach the Bible to us." Everybody wants the Bible preached, right? No. We all would say, "We want the Word, we want the Word, we want the Word." But I have met very few Christians who want to change their lives according to the Word of God. We love to hear it. Tell me what it says. I want some more Bible knowledge. But you're asking me to change my thoughts? You're asking me to change my behavior? You're asking me to change how I treat people? We want the Word, but we don't want holiness? That's the whole purpose of the Word of God. To conform us to be more and more like Christ. How about we grab a hold of this passage in real life, and we begin to see our troubles, our hardships, God's discipline as His treatment for us, and what it will produce in our lives. God's good medicine, just at the right time, which builds character and faith and real love and real hope and real righteousness. And you will never see it from a natural perspective. The world will not get it. But through the eyes of faith, chapter 11. We trust God. And we will see God's discipline as one of His richest and most rewarding blessings for His children. Someone has written, and so what do I say? I say, let the rains of disappointment come if they water the plants of spiritual grace. Let the winds of adversity blow if they serve to root more securely the trees that God has planted. I say, let the sun of prosperity be eclipsed if that brings me closer to the true light of life. Welcome, sweet discipline. Discipline designed for my joy. Discipline designed to make me what God wants me to be. Let's say that. Let's pray. God, we know your discipline, like our parents, is sometimes and usually and not designed to be pleasant at the moment. But it's proof you love us. It's proof we're your children. May we not give in to taking it lightly or to just give up. May we want as you want. Realize real holiness. Not just to know a lot about your word, but to want it to change us to be like Jesus. And oh, how we look forward to that day in heaven when we get there. And once and for all, for eternity, we are holy and sharing your holiness. Not because of what we've done or earned, but because of what Christ has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.